I am unashamed. What about you?
So we had a get together last night, and I got to make a speech at the beginning of it. And we were there for two reasons. We were at Willie and Corey's house, and I guess years ago we did a lot more family get-togethers, but I figure it must be because we're all so big now and kind of have our own planks. Like you were saying, you got your whole crew. Yeah. I mean, my whole crew is, 20 people just for my bunch, with grandkids and all that. So we all got together, most of us, they were in town here last night. And so we were marking two things. One was Tony and Phyllis, our sister. We're not calling her our new sister. We're calling her our newfound sister because she's really been our sister for the whole time.
Of course.
But she is newfound. We just found out about her. And she's awesome. She's moved here. And we mentioned this before on the podcast, she's actually living in the old command center. That's their bedroom now, which is where we were doing this podcast. So that's why we had to move out to our new dig.
It's kind of like me being on the show now.
That's right.
I was here for
130
episodes, and somebody said, "I don't think he's leaving."
So now we're unashamed with Phil and Jace Robertson.
So okay.
So I guess what you're telling me, Jay, is that 260 is going to be unashamed with Phil, Jace, and Al Robertson.
And Al,
sorry, 260. We're going to hit me if I last that long.
I think it's the lack of a beard.
Could be. I get no respect. I'm like Rodney Dangerfield.
I was completely blocked off from all computers and digital land. I was completely cut off for over 50 years.
But you're acting like
it appeared
did that to you. You did that to yourself.
I know it. That's
well, but you said I was completely cut. You cut yourself off.
Yeah. Well, that's right.
I don't know why that's a point.
It's called self-quarantine. But now I'm like, okay, I'm in the digital world and don't even know how the thing works.
Oh, you're everywhere. Yeah. And that's what's interesting about back to Phyllis and Tony is she found us through DNA that now is in digital land.
That's
because
right.
They build these family trees around people's DNA to find out who's who.
Yeah.
And that's how they found us.
I was amazed at how many other people
have
a previous children coming out of their past. So many of them have contacted us.
Well, I mean, that's because of so many people doing this thing now.
I'm still waiting. I have a challenge out there to scientists. And look, I love science. I'm a science man. I just believe God is the greatest scientist there is.
He is. He invented it.
Yeah. I'm not against science. But I have issued a challenge on hundreds of occasions. And I've said, who wrote the code? Because they all say DNA is the most sophisticated code on the planet.
And you're discussing why, after they did discover the code, many, 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 many scientists turned godly over that one point.
Yep. Yeah. You know what I noticed?
They're like, who wrote the code? And then they were like, huh.
You know what, I've noticed in the last year? Because I'm all the time reading any kind of DNA article. Because I think it's an evidence that there's a God. It's the most sophisticated code. It was here since humans.
Yep.
So most of the times you come up with a code and then it becomes more sophisticated. We discovered the most sophisticated code and it had been here the whole time. And it's in our body.
That's correct.
And we can't figure out, we came up with the Morse code. Whoa, that's awesome.
You can track your children within 99.9, but without DNA, no.
So what happened to this evolving thing? We've digressed because our codes are not as complicated as the one in our body
that they say
no one wrote. But in the past year when I read these articles, now they don't want to use the word code. They're like, well, technically it's not a code. You know why? Because people like me keep saying, well, who wrote it?
That's right. If it's a code.
If we have a code.
Oh, it's a code.
That means someone wrote it. So they're like, you know what? We need to stop calling that a code, Science Nation, because we don't have an answer for who wrote it.
That's right.
So now they just call it something else besides a code.
The redneck view, the redneck view, which is my own as a C-plus man, I'm like, so what department in saltwater handled that particular facet of humanity?
I know.
The animal world.
I know the answer. I know the answer. The encoder.
And look, to Dad's point, he's always saying, just because you change the name of it, it's like when everything was B.C., you know, before Christ, or, yeah. You know, and then the A.D.
They say, no, that was B.C.E., before the Common Era.
Yeah.
I'm like, right. When did the Common Era start? They said, the same year y'all say Jesus showed up. I'm like, yeah, that's what I thought.
So you can change the name, but we're basically going to have
going back to 2020 years from something.
We're going to have the same concept, yeah. Which is right.
Well, tell them, and the other thing.
So the first thing we're doing was we're honoring Tony and Phyllis. Welcome to West Monroe. Welcome to Louisiana. We've already, of course, they're already welcome to our family, but we're also was kind of our official welcome to the Robertson family. And by the way, to your point, we received a lot of information from people, and I don't have a way to quantify it exactly, but I would say 8 out of 10 don't go well. I mean,
was that right?
Oh yeah. I mean, I don't know. It may be more, but almost everybody that sends something in, things didn't work out well. The person wasn't who they thought they'd be. It was a lot of trouble, a lot of strife. It's obvious. You can understand if someone that didn't, the wife didn't know, and all of a sudden she finds out, and you know, so it's a lot of difficulty. So which makes me feel good about our family and our situation is that we've not only has it gone well, but we feel blessed to now have this person in our life, you know, and
well,
her
I don't
family.
Want to make light of it because, you know, we believe God worked this out for us.
Right.
But I'm just guessing that if I was a female and someone handed me a video and I watched a show like Duck Dynasty and somebody said, this is your family, this is your real family, my expectations before the meeting would be at an all-time low right there. I was like, well, nowhere to go but up from here.
Well, it's funny that you say that because Phyllis told me that basically she was tried. You know, they had never watched the show. And because they were missionaries in Nicaragua, they heard about it, but they didn't know anything about it. So when they find out it's us, she sits down and starts watching the episode, and she's like, I just didn't like it at all. I mean, just, yeah. And I said, well, that's what Dad said. He was on it. So she didn't get it, but she loves the podcast. And in fact, we were just together at the Beats last week, and she was listening.
Well, I did it without ever getting it.
Right.
I did it without getting it. I'm like, I mean, I looked up and there's a throng from New York City and Los Angeles, California. I'm like, good.
I always say that when people say, well, how real was the show? I said, look, go watch Duck Dynasty and just watch Phil.
Yeah.
That's as real as you'll ever get on a show because Phil was oblivious of what was going on.
Which to me was really funny.
I really was.
That was really funny on the show. It made it funny. Because
it was a severe strain on my person.
Well, these producers were scared of you for some reason. They would come to me and they said, do you think your dad would? I said, go ask him. But they wouldn't. And so Phil would just show up. And
mostly it was this or
he'd say a few words.
Well, so
I considered it a period of time that I just weathered. But somebody said, how did you like that? After it's all over, I was like, I have never felt such a relief when somebody said, this thing is finally going belly up. I'm like, woo!
I said, me too.
Thank you, Lord.
And Dad did take it for the team.
I did a lot of spiritual stuff on there so our audience will know. But I want you folks to know something. You know what? They never ran it.
Yeah, never made the cut, dude.
It never made the cut. Exactly. 90% of what I said was never run on Duck Dynasty.
But I will say this.
But well, the podcast, either. They can
That's
see
right.
It
opened
clearly.
Up the door for what we're doing here, which is great. So the second reason that I told our family last night why we were together was that on yesterday, August 16th, 43 years ago, Elvis Presley died, and he was only 42 at the time he died in 1977. Mm-hmm. So yesterday marked that Elvis has now been dead longer than he was alive on the earth. And he's still very popular.
I know where you're going with this.
And then, and so everybody's like, oh, and they're looking at me like, that's an odd thing to say. And then I said, oh, and it's Jace's birthday.
Yeah.
Which was funny. And it got a good laugh.
I had a traumatizing experience on my eighth or ninth birthday.
It was your eighth?
We were going to have a party. You probably, you hadn't been. You were post
I'm sure Dad was planning the party.
You were post Jesus just a short period of time. So you were probably in the withdrawal stage. So this would probably be some foggy.
I call it, I was at the zigzag stage.
Zigzag. But here's what happened. I woke up with excitement, as most kids do when you're going to have a birthday party.
Your eighth birthday.
Your birthday. And I see the presents and. Here we're just fixed to start. We're going to bring the cake out, blow out the candles. And somebody said, what? And they turned the TV up. Elvis died on my birthday. And as sad as that was, the party also died. There was no cake. Nobody even got the cake out. I got my own cake.
It killed the party.
It killed the party. Everybody was crying, and I just thought, well, they're going to pick it back up later. Nope. That was the day the party never happened.
Which is why I brought it up, because remembering that.
It was
a
bad memory.
Chevy to the levee, but the levee was they made a song about that old dude. Yeah.
Was that the day Elvis died? It was? Yeah. Oh, I didn't even know what that meant.
The day the music died.
But you gotta think about it to our audience today in 2020, they're like, unless they're older and hardcore, they're like, what's the big deal about Elvis? But in 77, Elvis was a big deal. Yeah. I mean, at 42 years old, he was the biggest celebrity that was around. The Beatles, were kind of rivaled it, I guess, but Elvis was a big deal.
Well, I liked him until he died. Then I never liked him again. Because right. From a kid's perspective, I just thought he ruined my birthday.
That's right. I never was much into Elvis.
Yeah, we never. None of us were. Granny and Paul were kind of upset about it that day. I remember because they liked him, but Granny remembered.
Kay was crying.
Yeah, Granny remembered him when he sang gospel. That she said she liked his gospel stuff. Which he did some amazing gospel.
I'm not sure that took. Maybe it did.
Maybe it did. Well, he was 42 when he passed, and this year marked 43. So it gave me a good chance to. I was going to do that, Jason, because I preach Sunday. And that was going to be my open, because I always like to do something unique. And I even had a bit where I was going to have the fellowship center, the worship center, and the online audience all say happy birthday, Jace, at the same time. Mm. But then you weren't there.
Well, I was online because I was coming
you
back
saw
from
it.
Montana.
But since you weren't there, I didn't even know if you were watching, so I didn't waste a good bit.
Well, you better be glad you didn't, because I think I'd have wanted to say something, which I've always said. I love how the African American community at their churches, which look, I wish we were all like our church. We meet, we're all together. There's all races, which I just, God worked it out. I think that's what Galatians 3:27 says. Mm-hmm. But you've been there and I have too, where, Al and I have been the only white people at an African American church.
And I've been speaking before him in the only white person.
Spoke. Yeah. And Al tried to tune in and get
I tried
more
to get
lively,
tap into my Al Gore.
Al, you just... If you ain't got it, you ain't got it.
I just had to try it.
But he tried it. But I love how they go, well, I've said that before, but I love, because in our churches, like mainly if it's just a white church, they might say, there might be a hallelujah,
amen.
Praise the Lord, and we got a guy who's Jesus, amen. But nobody says well. And you say, well, why? Because well means what I came to understand is
I don't know whether you got this on straight or not.
I'm not agreeing with this. I have another point.
there may be, which is funny. Said that. I've heard that, but I never knew it till you said it.
Well, I researched it.
That's
I was
a good
like,
thing to sort of keep the proclaimer on his toes.
That's
you
right.
Know what I'm saying?
Because you start getting
because
a lot
when
of
you get
wells.
To that, they're right along. Then when you get to, maybe not here.
I've done it a few times since, and people look around like, what did he say?
Because if it's not a...
Well, I just couldn't help it.
If it's not
thought,
a black audience.
I do
audience.
Not agree with this. I do not. Well!
I like that.
And it makes me feel better.
I'm with you.
So what I was going to say is, actually, and this is disturbing. I want to bring this up. Our viewers should get a kick out of this.
All right, well, hey, hang on. Let's take a break because I think this is going to be good. So one of the things, Dad, one of our sponsors is providing a product that you and I both love. It's called Omega XL, and it's all about reducing inflammation, which as we mm-hmm. get older, and Jay's just had a birthday, so he's not me long behind.
Yep.
I haven't been a victim of the
I know you
inflame.
Haven't.
I mean, when I'm in flames, that means there's actual literal fire around me. I need to
Jay's
walk
in
away.
Flame with an E. Dad and I are in flame with an I.
That's the difference in 10 years.
That's pretty good. But anyway, we have a lot of painful, stiff joints, muscles, issues like that. Omega XL is a great product to deal with that. It's basically extracted from muscles, which little small muscles that grow into bigger muscles and help you with that inflammation. So it's great science behind it. These are good folks. You go to OmegaXL.com/Phil. You're going to get buy your first bottle, but you get your second bottle free. So you're getting it basically half price. So check it out, OmegaXL.com/Phil, or call 1-800-844-4888. That's 1-800-844-4888.
So the day before my birthday, I'm in Montana. I wake up at sunrise because, you know, I'm on a mountain and the sun's
shining. By the way, Jason, how old are you?
Let's not talk about that.
I've forgotten what 50, year you were born.
50,
I remember.
Here's what's 69. Funny, Phil. He was born in 1969.
69? Yeah.
Here's yep. what's funny 51. About that, Phil. Every time you start talking about age, you say, I mean, you're crowding 50.
You're coming up on 50.
I'm thinking, no, 51, I've already hit 50.
And I'm 74. Well, one thing I'm it just occurred to me I'm pretty proud of is that at least we got old together.
He says
Jace,
this
your
in
next
every
marker,
birthday.
Your next marker is 60 and mine is 80. So I'm just saying, between the two of us, you're going to be getting into your 60s. If I'm still kicking, you're like, whoa, here.
You know what's funny about this is
if
this
I
is
make
like
it to my 90s, you'll be in your 70s, which is kind of scary.
Yeah, we're a day removed from my birthday, and I really think this is the first time that you've actually thought about it, but that's okay. Yep. So
it is. That's true.
So what
birthdays and beaches I never were a part of.
And also, what was
why
the,
I do not
what
know.
What was the two he said the other day that he would never do? It was play golf or carry a sign.
Well, he forgot about carrying a sign.
Play golf, and there's another one.
I'll get back to you.
I'll get back to you.
But what I was going to say is somebody, here's what happened. I get up, and my phone, I look down, there's about 10 messages on my phone. It says, happy birthday. So I look over there, and I guess Missy sent, because I thought she was asleep, since I was looking at her, and she's like, what do you want? Her eyes were closed, you know, and I was like,
that's a pretty good intuition right there.
And I was like, well,
what do you give 51-year-old men as presents? Just thought.
You know, what did I get?
Just a text that says,
I gave you a pie.
Al got me a pie.
I gave him a cherry cream cheese pie, which is his favorite pie.
You know what's kind of crazy? I think that's actually the only gift I received. Willie cooked
your dinner
last night.
That's right.
And I got a pie. That was it.
That's what you get at 50.
So, which was good. I appreciate you.
Well, I'm glad I was the only one that
I usually get gifts, but I
usually give you a case of golf balls. But
once you get in your financial situation,
yeah, what do you need?
You have everything you want beyond everything you
but
want.
Usually, my wife gets me something, but she just didn't.
She figured.
But you know, it's really close to my anniversary, so you know it's okay. So what I was going to say was, so I looked down, I got about five to ten, saying happy birthday.
This
so
is the day
Missy
before you.
Said, yeah, what do you want? I said, is today my birthday? She said, no, it's tomorrow. And I said, well, I think that's my phone. He said, why is everybody wishing me happy birthday? She said, I bet someone has put it on the internet. Why else? Because we were in Montana.
Yeah.
And so she said, I'm on it. I didn't know what that meant. But I just went away. So about an hour later, she said, I found it. She said, they posted, you know, that
today.
It's your birthday. So I guess, and what made me think was, okay, and it was on Facebook. That's where they get it from.
Yeah.
So I'm like, these people, and some of the people who, out of the 10, were my family.
What you think?
And so I, well, that's when it hit me. I thought, okay, you're believing Facebook no matter what?
Yeah.
It's almost like Facebook has become a Bible to people. They're like, oh, read it on Facebook. It's Jason's birthday.
Got to be true.
Because, I mean, a couple of my messages were, I bet you read this on Facebook, but they didn't change my birthday.
But I've dealt with the same phenomena like that. About 20 times, people on Facebook, I get the information. Somebody else comes to me and says, you just died on Facebook. You're dead. You're gone. I've been arrested. I've been, the police have gotten me. I've died.
Yeah.
And look, this is multiple times.
Yeah,
so I've tend to not take whatever this Facebook is. I tend not to take that too seriously. I died on Facebook a lot of times.
When your cousin is wishing you happy birthday a day before because they read it on Facebook, this ain't just people, random people. If you got into my phone, I know you
pretty
well.
What kind of mind is looking on a what you're calling Facebook, looking for someone's birthday?
Well, they're not.
You talking about running out of time, running out of something to do?
Well, they have a wall. And they put the information on their wall. And then people come by and read your wall. They write on the wall, which is not a real
whether
wall.
Whether you're alive or dead, whether you're 10 or 20 or... I just have better things to do.
Well,
so I bet y'all didn't know this. So there are several websites, because I've seen them. They'll pop up on one of my social medias that recognize celebrity birthdays. And all of us, I guess, have garnered enough attention that on my birthday, it'll pop up on my phone, so-and-so from Duck Dynasty, happy whatever your birthday is. So there are websites that keep track of your birthday and then just push them out across the internet. So I'm sure they were doing it on the
16th. I've always looked at it through a spiritual lens. Every time you have a birthday, which actually—
Do you know your birthday?
Yeah, April 24th.
Okay, I was just curious.
But just looking at that, you're actually— It's not true, any of it is, because they'll say happy 51.
Yeah.
But Jace is now, after his birthday, he was in your mother's womb for 9 months before the birthday showed up. He'd already been here in his mother's womb, Miss Kay. He'd been there for 9 months, which is 3 months shy of a year. So he's actually 9 months
and
older
right
now
52.
Than he says he is. You say 51. He's actually 51.
And three quarters.
And three quarters. He's almost 52.
Right.
Just 3 months short of 52. So I'm just saying, it's not a good barometer.
It is a good point that
plus the happy part, happy birthday, and you're 1 year closer now, Jace, to your departure.
Well, it's getting depressing.
Your soul and spirit leaving your body, your body falls asleep. You're saying there's a lot of things that the world's not aware of when they say happy, happy birthday.
But see, now you're making me go back 9 months, and now I'm realizing since I was conceived pre-Jesus that
that's
it was probably at some kind of psychedelic Woodstock concert.
They were married.
All may have been
involved.
Trust
me, it's been so long ago, 50 years, I'm not quite sure how you got here.
Yeah. Well, that, and I don't even want to go there.
But I'm looking at you, and I think you mind the way you've been acting all these years.
I don't think there's any denying it.
It's kind of like the long lost sister. She's a Robertson.
Oh my goodness! Yeah. Look, I've spent a lot more time than y'all have with her. We were just together a week. She
I said we'll find out whether she's mine.
She
or
is
not.
A Robertson. Like she's a woman, but it's so funny. Like so much so that like so I'm on a text chain with her and her husband Tony and Lisa, and I'm like she is Jace or Willie. So many things that she does is one of us. And then they got into something over clothes for a wedding.
Well, she's the only woman Robertson,
right?
We've ever seen.
But that's right. There aren't many. And so a couple of your sisters. That was it. But on this chain, I'm looking at the thing, and she's going on about dresses, and this makes me look fat. And it was for the first time, it was like she was a woman. Like up until this point, I just viewed her as a fifth Robertson son, until I saw her going on about her what she was going to wear, and then it sounded like a woman, you know, like Lisa would do, like, oh, what about this, what do you think about that? Then I was like, how do I get out of this text chain because you just left the station with me.
Well, you've stumbled up on one of the worst things in society. We used to, now they have group text. I don't know. Somebody
never heard of it.
Look.
Group text.
Now, listen to this. I'm really going
anything
to.
Anything group something scares me.
Well, yeah.
If you put group in front of it, it's not going to be good.
Some of the moms. Look, some of the moms at my daughter's school formed a group text. And instead of getting Missy's number, they got mine.
Ooh.
And so none of these people are in my phone. And all of a sudden, it's like, hey, we're having a party. At Tonto.
And then it's bing, bing,
like,
bing.
So
bing,
I scroll bing. Down, and I'm like, I need to find leave the conversation, because that's what I was going to do. Because used to, you could do that. Mm-hmm. You could just go and leave. What happened was that appeared on their end.
It Jay said, says left the conversation.
Well, it would say, this number has left the conversation.
I trained myself.
Look, Phil, so people got their feelings hurt. So the phone... makers said, you know what? We're not going to do that because people have been devastated so much by leaving the conversation. So now you can't leave. You cannot get, the only way you can leave it is to take a hammer and destroy your phone.
And you wonder why I don't have one.
I'm this close.
I have memorized one cell phone number. Out of all the whatever, and that's Miss Kay's. I know her cell phone number. But if you ask me, well, what is your number? Just regular telephone number.
You'd have no idea.
I have no idea.
Well, guess what? I don't know my number. I have no idea.
I like it. You're Robertson.
No, I'm not a Robertson. It's now, if you don't, the name is the number.
Yeah, because your contact list. Nobody goes by the number.
So when I go.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
So when I'm filling out a form and they'll say, what's your phone number? I say, I don't know. And I'm sitting there holding my phone. And they're looking. Then they look back at me. They look at the phone. They look back at me. I say, I know I have one. I just don't know what this number is. And they'll say, well, you can look it up. I said, no, you can't. Not on mine. Because my number went to a producer from one of the TV shows. They said, how'd that happen? I said, I have no idea. But I can't remember which producer it was. But somewhere in my phone, there's a producer, a former producer of our show, and my number is attached to his name. And I didn't do that.
I don't want to live in that kind of world. I want that crap to just pass me by like a warm spring day, and I don't want to fool with that. Anyway,
I went to Missy.
Hang on, let's take a break on that one, the warm spring. So, Jay, so one of our sponsors, Helix, which provided your family with a mattress.
They did.
Yeah, and Cole tried it out and gave it a...
guess what? Now I got three more.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Because I have another house because Mia's going to school.
Right.
Not Louisiana, so right. We're going to stay there.
That's awesome.
And my wife is actually there, and she said, I got the new mattresses in.
And
she said, so when you come in, we can try them out.
Oh, boy.
Now, I didn't know exactly what that meant.
I think I know what you hope it meant.
I think you had an idea of what that meant.
Well, I sure hope I'm right.
So, look, not only is Helix, here's some good news. And now I'm the beneficiary, and you don't even know about this, Jess. They have come up with a new company under Helix is called Allform, and they're making couches or sofas, as they say. Oh. We call them a couch. So they sent the couch to me. And so Lisa and I actually set it up, which is amazing because it came in several boxes. And I thought, oh my goodness, this is going to be a nightmare. But it wasn't. I was so proud of myself because these guys made it super simple. We put the thing together, and I mean, it is comfortable. One end's got a little layout deal where you can just kind of
sit. I'm a couch man. I'm not these people in the chairs. No, yeah. I like to spread.
Well, I know, and I said Jace is a couch man, but I thought I better try it out and make sure.
If you go way back, he gets a thumbs up from me. A divan.
A divan. Well, there you go. Divan to couch to sofa.
You lost me, Phil, but. We'll talk later.
That's what they call it.
So here, just like with the mattresses, they give you a chance to try this out risk-free. You get 100 days to decide if you want to keep it. That's more than 3 months. And trust me, I've had mine for a week, and you'll want to keep it on the couch, and Jace will try out the beds. It's a forever warranty, literally forever. I mean, they back it up, which is great. So these guys are awesome, got awesome products. Check out Allform, A-L-L-F-O-R-M, allform.com/unashamed. You get 20% off all orders for our listeners, which is awesome. Allform.com/unashamed.
I went to Missy. This is the only time I've done this in our marriage, 30 years. And I said, I want to show you this text. There was 100 messages from these women about everything under the sun. I said, if you do not get this off my phone, I'm out of here. It's me or them. So here's my phone. Find out who those numbers are, and I want to leave that conversation. And come to find out, whoever started the group can actually take you off. And she did it.
So here's Katoza Jace's point, Dad, and this, again, this blows your mind. So at the same time the phone people were making it where you couldn't get out of a text chain, they're also added in this new thing that people are doing, which, again, drives me insane, where you can like what somebody says, a little heart comes up, bing, it's a heart. I said something, and then they like it. And then somebody else can laugh at their like and say, and it comes up, ha ha. So now, on top of all the messages, we got bing, heart, ha ha, bing, ba ha, bing, bing. It's just like that, and women tend to love it, apparently.
You have to remember something.
It drives me crazy.
I think some of this goes back to the roots of America when we were a lot better off, when a couple of technicians drove up and they were placing this device on one of our walls in our house. And I'm a kid, and I'm like, Si and I, we're standing there like, what in the world? What is that? You know, what is that? And they were hooking the thing up. You know, it had a little cord on it.
A clock?
And one of our parents, Mama, turned around and she said, here's what this is, guys. You can be in this room right now. Now, we're sitting there, I've never seen it before. Never seen a telephone. This is way telephone. Before television. Television came way after that.
Yeah.
But this is telephone. And she said, my mother to Si and I were standing there like this, jams over there. She said, you can talk to Miss McKinney down the road from right here. We're like, oh, get out of here. Get out of here. We're like, no. She said, you're going to be able to talk to her, Miss McKinney, who lives down the road 3 or 4 blocks from this device right here. Well, they put about 8 people on that one line because they didn't have enough lines.
Right, right.
So they put 8 people on it on both sides of our house. So you'd pick up the phone.
So you could talk to your neighbor.
And the odds of somebody talking on it out of the 8 or 9 was pretty good.
Yeah.
So most time you pick it up, and I told her that I did. And it's women talking. And if you picked it up, she said, get off the line. So we were just seeing what was going on.
You were just
the women,
trying to listen.
The old women on it were giving us a cussing when we tried to find out. You know, I just wanted to say something to you. Where are you? Well, they're down the road 3 or 4 blocks. Let's call her up and ask her.
But so they're all talking to one another.
They're all talking to one another. Shut the phone down. Get off the phone.
There ain't nothing changed.
What I'm trying to say is we've come a long way since then.
And yet we're back to the same spot.
Well, I'm just saying it was trouble there to start with. I said, I don't know about this doggone thing.
It's still trouble.
I never got one.
It's still trouble. And it's still just a lot. I mean, some things are important, and obviously you have to have them, but man, the madness that goes in with them and the habits of people that use them.
They're too much.
Oh, it's way too much. There's no doubt about it. Well, we'll never figure that out, but I will say I love talking cell phones with Dad. That's always an interesting trip.
Well, our segue into John 10 is where when Jesus said, they hear my voice and they listen to me.
Look at you.
I think a lot of people find that preposterous. Here's a person who was on the earth roughly 2,000 years ago, and he's given an illustration where we can actually hear his voice.
You have an individual. Listen, what he's saying is, when you hear my voice, what I say is without mistake, ever.
Yeah.
And you say, wait a minute here. A mistake-free being says, when you hear my voice,
yeah,
just remember, I'm mistake-free.
Yeah.
I'm the king of the cosmos.
Right.
So when I say something, you take that to heart. Because no one else is going to say what I'm saying. And no one has ever come along, Al, that even came close to what he said.
You know, and he kept telling the disciples.
Isn't that your point there, Jason?
He kept telling the disciples, remember back in John 9, when he said, look, I'm not going to be here. I mean, as long as I'm in the world, the light's here for a period of time.
That's right.
And then night's coming. So he was like trying to tell them, but they weren't getting it. It was like, look, you need to really listen for the next 3 years.
So.
At everything I'm saying.
So listen to everything I say. And on top of that, listen to everything I'm going to do.
Right.
Take that together, just mistake free.
Right.
So when you know, he repeatedly said, Matthew, Mark, Luke, even John, the next page or two, we'll get into it. He repeatedly said, guys, I'm going to go up to Jerusalem, and they're going to arrest me, kill me,
mm-hmm.
and 3 days later, I'm going to be raised from the dead. Now, he says that, and they just keep walking. And Peter and them looking around. One time, Peter said, never. Wait a minute here. Not only did he predict it, he predicted what he was going to do on top of everything he said. And look, Al, and pulls it off.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine me telling y'all, Al, you and Jace, I want y'all to remember something. They're going to kill me in about 6 months, they're going to kill me. And he said, and then I will tell y'all, but in 3 days I'll be raised from the dead. So don't forget that. And he just kept walking down the road. Well, just think of what kind of, you would say, oh, hey, whoa, here. They were looking around like, what did he say?
That's right.
Well, what's interesting is in John 10:18, he said that, well, he said in 17, he said, the reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from the Father. Of course, their response was, he's demon possessed.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
that's raving mad.
Yeah.
That's all they could come up with. Let's take another break. So one of our sponsors has been created by Credit Data Scientist. I bet you didn't even know there were Credit Data Scientists, Jay. Were you aware that those scientists existed?
CDS. Never heard of them.
It makes it pretty cool. Basically, they come up with a concept called ScoreMaster, which creates ways to raise your credit score. We know we've got a lot of young viewers out there, first-time home buyers, buying your side-by-side, you know, your trailer, whatever. So you want to get that credit score up to make it a little bit better to save you some
money. So the higher the credit score, the easier to get money.
I don't have a lot of high credit scores in my past, although I'm doing better these days. So I understand the need for this. They have one here that was a couple that raised their 61 points, another one 102 points in 11 days. So obviously the data they've come up with is helpful. So if you're buying a car or refinancing, needing this from these guys, you can go to ScoreMaster.com/Phil, ScoreMaster.com/Phil, and get your credit score up quickly. And I thought it was interesting, Jace, because I hear people say this, and without trying to be too, you know, people's semantics, I know what they mean. When they say, you know, they murdered Jesus, he said very clearly, they didn't murder me because I gave my life.
Well, right.
That is correct.
So, yeah. I mean, it looked like a murder. I understand because it was a set-up
sham. Well, and a lot, like, even when the passion came.
This is going back to the original prediction, the seed of a woman would crush Satan.
That's right.
So 5,000 or so years later, he says, yep, I'm here. Isaiah and them said, yeah.
Isaiah
he's going to be pierced. He's going to be pierced. He's going to be buried. He's going to be raised in 700 years before it happened. He comes on the scene. And repeats to them often, yeah, I'm going to die, be buried, and raised from the dead. But like Isaiah said, y'all remember that? Everybody's like, whoa, here, wait a minute. And when you get right down to it, Al, they didn't believe it.
No.
Well, some of the discussions I had in Israel, borderline arguments, you know, they didn't like that movie, The Passion, because they were like, well, they're blaming us. you know, the Jews were set up with it, blaming us. I was like, well, look, Jesus gave his life. It was his idea out of love.
And he told him how he would die.
Now, you were the vessel that led to a series of circumstances, but because, you know, we were having discussion because they were like, well, he was not the Messiah. And so it caused a discussion because I just couldn't keep my mouth shut, you know, because our guide was like, he would say comments like that. This is where they say Jesus died and was buried and resurrected. But, you know, I don't believe that ever even happened. You know, that's what he was saying. Well, you had me too. You said you didn't have to throw that in there.
Once you added the commentary, I'm like,
okay, they said this is where he died and was buried and resurrected. Just in the sentence there. Right. I'll make my own decision, but don't. So
you
but,
report
and he
at
would,
us.
Yeah, he would kind of laugh about it. But I do think it is a point that the overall factor is that he did give his life. Because at any moment, he could have just, you know. he could have turned them to a gnat.
After telling someone repeatedly, a little group, you were going to die, be buried, and raised from the dead. Well, you get to the end of Matthew, and they recorded Jesus dying, being buried, and raised from the dead. You say, he did exactly what he said he would do. Then you get to Mark. Mark did the same thing. You say, well, why repeat that four times? So you can't miss it.
Right.
You can't miss it.
And he didn't need his disciples to protect him, which is why when Peter, you know, he cuts the guy's ear off, he's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. You've missed the point here. I don't need protecting.
He knew that's the reason he came.
That's exactly right. And it was the moment. He knew it was the time for the whole thing. Which was interesting because what was it? First Peter that says he was led like a sheep to the slaughter.
That's a good one. Because I think we
should read
that. A sheep
before her shearers is silent. That's the quote.
Yep.
That it gave there in First Peter. Which
well,
is pretty
he said it says in First Peter 2, when they hurled their insults at him, he didn't retaliate. First, it says he committed no sin, no deceit was found in his mouth. So he was innocent.
By the way,
and imperishable.
Yeah, by the way, he didn't say at any time, "Y'all have got the wrong man here." No.
Right.
They had the right man, but they just didn't realize what they were doing. Huh?
They had the wrong man for the crime. He didn't, if you're innocent, you didn't commit a crime.
That's right.
Which is why Pilate thought he could wiggle out of it by having an obvious criminal here and say, okay, now, you know, we got a clear picture here. Who do you want to set free? I'm going to set somebody free today. It was his way of getting out of it, he thought.
Yep.
And then they were like, give us Barabbas.
I told my Jewish friend that day when we had the discussion, I said, well, you're missing one thing. I said, there was no crime. He's like, well, I've never heard anybody from your faith say that. I said, well, you don't have a body. I said, for there to be a murder, we got to have a body. I said, the perfect crime is when you don't have a body. So if we went and tried to prove,
that's a good point.
What you just said that y'all murdered him, well, we wouldn't be able to prove it because we don't have a body.
That's right.
And the reason we don't have a body, to you, that lets you off the hook, but it also puts me on a hook that I'm going to be resurrected. That's the hook. You need to come join us because one day you're going to die and we will see your body.
It might have helped him.
It may have.
His eyes get real big.
Yeah, because he had never heard that one.
He didn't know what to say. I was kind of being funny about it because I thought, well, you can't prove it because there was no body. There was no murder because there was no body. There really was no body.
That's right.
Yeah. It wasn't just because we hit it well.
That's right.
He came back. I said, so I think you forgave him. And then I quoted what he said, forgive him for what they do. And then his body was resurrected. So whatever you thought you did to him, he actually came back.
That's
so
right.
You're okay. You're fine. He made it right.
Quit feeling bad about it.
I'm telling that guy's head was spinning because he thought, well, dang, I was all mad about that movie. And now he let me off the hook. I said, you're good. The whole nation, go tell everybody. Let's make up some
signs. You know, Jason, the one thing you accomplished on that trip is that guy never forgot you because he probably hadn't been stumped like that in a lot of
He was stumped.
A lot
he
of
was
tours.
Stumped. Because he thought good. I was just making it from that when Jesus said, Father, forgive them. I said, but then he just let you off because he came back. It was the wrong was righted.
That was actually the best way to look at it. Let's take our last break.
Hi, it's Jason Whitlock. Have you secured your spot for Roll Call 2.0, my annual men's summit in Nashville, Tennessee? Are you looking for an opportunity to fellowship with other believers, to come together across the identity lines the left have drawn to divide us? Join me, country music star John Rich, and Blaze founder Glenn Beck in Nashville on Saturday, June 1st for Roll Call 2.0. We're going to listen to great music, eat fantastic barbecue, and hear inspiring speeches from myself, Glenn Beck, North Carolina Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson, Pastor E.W. Jackson, and many more. Let's quit letting the satanic left sift us like wheat. Let's come together as men and talk about the sacrifices we must make to restore the unity and shared values that made our country the envy of the world. Visit fearlessarmyrollcall.com to secure your spot.
Well, I wanted to read the end of that. He then said, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. This is 1 Peter 2:24. So that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd. So it's the same concept as John 10.
Right.
I wanted to hit two other points that came from the unbelief of the Jews in the next section, just to kind of get us ready for moving forward. One of them is a lot of people don't understand what this verse means. I want to bring it up, John 10:29. I mean, you probably noticed this about our podcast. All the verses that everybody avoids, we just go ahead and read them and say, not that we have all the answers, and I may be wrong about this, but this seems to be a point of contention. But it says, my Father who has given them to me, talking about the sheep, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father one. So people, there's been a lot of debate about what that means. No one can snatch them out of my hand. So what do y'all, what's your initial take before I give you mine?
Hey, it's eternal life for everyone who puts their faith in the gospel of Jesus. Who's going to snatch them out?
Well, I think the debate comes about because people say, well, can you fall away or what, you know, what's.
Oh, you can leave.
Well, yeah, you can leave. I think that's about perspective. Since God is not bound by time, I don't even know how to describe him.
Right.
He sees everything as is. That's why Jesus over and over says, I am, I am, I am, I am, I am. So really, from his perspective, there's no falling away because everything just is.
Right.
Before, during, and after.
Because he knows the end result.
As he knows.
Right.
Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, this is adds a little credence to that verse, never will I leave you. Mm-hmm. Never will I forsake you. The Lord's my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? They can't snatch me out.
Right.
He's not going to leave me ever, because it's impossible for him to lie. And he said, oh, I'm going to save you, and you have an anchor for your soul. I can't lie, and I'll give you immortality.
Yeah,
it's yours.
Yeah. I thought the same thing.
And I'm not going anywhere.
Romans 8:1, there's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. When you're in the hand of God, you're in the hand of God.
That's it.
And so as far as it depends on him, you're always there. There is no snatching away. So
you can desert him, but he'll always be there. And by the way, Al, you can always come back.
You can. So hold that thought for a second. So those of you who are unashamed, we appreciate you guys. As always, we're out of time, but we're going to have a little bit more bonus conversation for those of you that are subscribed. So we'll see you guys on Unashamed next time. Thanks for listening to the Unashamed podcast. Help us out by rating us on iTunes. And don't miss an episode by subscribing on YouTube, and be sure to click that little bell to get notified about new episodes. And for even more content that you won't get anywhere else, subscribe to Blaze TV at blazetv.com/unashamed.